Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, I want to welcome everybody out to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry newcomers class, where this class covers the milk of the word, those things that every saint should know and be able to teach anybody coming into the faith or to walk by in their lives. We are still in prayer and worship on this day, and so we will pick it up in question number 7 in the lesson for prayer and worship. For those of you who have the lesson, we'll pick it up in question number 7. Pray everybody has had a blessed weekend. It was a truly blessed Feast of Tabernacles for me. I really enjoyed, the morning services and the evening services, and then the final service for the end gathering. It was a blessing. You know, I can speak for myself that it was a blessing for me in it. And so I pray that it was a blessing to everyone else. We are going to go ahead and start with our statement of faith for today. And remember, this is a classroom environment. So, you know, participation is encouraged. And if you have questions, you know, I want you to feel free to bring them up. There is no such thing as a bad question. You know, the worst kind of question there is one that's unasked, okay? So if you're wondering about something in the scriptures, you know, it doesn't have to be related to the lesson that you just want an answer to, then you can bring it up in this environment as well. So let us, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today, because truly he is worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you on today, and we lift thee up and we extol thee, O Yah Elohim, for you are glorious and marvelous and worthy to be praised. You are our Elohim, and another will we not bow down to and give the knee to or pay adoration to. Only to you, O Yah Elohim, only to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. We want to welcome those in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, those that have called in on whatever number you have used. We greet you in the only name, whereby men must be saved. All right, on to today's lesson. We are talking about prayer and worship, or worship and prayer, and we're doing worship first, and we have questions that we are going through and answering. As I said, this is the milk of the Word. You know, a lot of us have been in the Word for a minute, yet and so I find a lot of times that we weren't always taught the whole milk of the Word, or some of us, none of it. So we want to make sure that these things are covered. So let us go to Psalms 150. That's going to be our first question. What does Psalms 150 instruct us to do in connection to worship? The book of Psalms 150. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, my sister. Looks like everybody else is me. All right. Amen. We'll make sure that we're all on one page, and that we are speaking the same things of one accord. All right. Psalms 150. Praise ye Yah. Praise Elohim in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpets. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the tremble, the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud sound, the loud cymbals, and praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise Yah. Praise ye Yah. So Psalms 150 is telling us simply to praise the Most High. Give him worship and adoration from your lips, with your body, with your hands, with your feet. If you know how to play an instrument, praise him on those instruments. Let it be a form of worship to the Most High. He gifted you that way. I wish he had gifted me that way. But he didn't. He gifted me in a different area. But praise him. And there should be no saint anywhere that calls himself a saint of the Most High that shouldn't give the Most High praise, that shouldn't worship him, you know, out of your mouth. Put adoration on him, okay? Extol him, lift him up. Let him know that he's your Elohim. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. Because, see, the Most High doesn't delight in everyone's praise and worship. So let's see whose delight he takes in, whose praise he takes delight in. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 15. And let's get verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Yah. When we are in sin, willful sin, let me clarify this. When we are in willful sin, we know we're doing wrong, we're going to continue to do wrong, but we call ourselves praising the Most High. He says it's an abomination to him. You don't want to hear it. But he loveth him that follows after righteousness. One that is lawful, that does right, because that's what righteousness means, to be lawful, to keep the law of the Most High. That's what defines what is right and wrong. That's whose praise he takes delight in. But the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Yah, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Okay, I jumped down to the wrong, to a wrong verse. The upright, the righteous, that's his delight. So it's like you have a disobedient child and you have one that does good. You love praising the one that does good, and you don't really say too much about the one that's disobedient because they're always disobedient. But the Most High loves the prayer of the upright. He loves the prayer and the praise of the upright and the righteous. But if you are wicked, he don't really want to hear from you. Only thing he wants to hear from you is that you're going to repent. He don't want you giving him any glories and any hallelujahs and, you know, lauding him if we're doing wickedness. Okay? So let's look at the different elements of and parts of a prayer, okay? Because the Most High tells us everything that he wants from us. He tells us how he wants it. We don't have to guess about these things, okay? So we're going to look at the different parts of a prayer. Let us go to Daniel chapter 4. Start there. The book of Daniel chapter 4. And let me straighten out my screen here. The book of Daniel, chapter 4, we're going to get verses 30 through 35. And I think I need my glasses. Daniel chapter 4, verses 30 through 35. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Amen. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling place, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed, number one, I blessed the Most High. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. So part of your praise and part of your prayer, you got to first acknowledge the Most High. Then you got to praise and honor him. You got to bless him, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what dost thou? So we need to bless him as part of our prayer. We need to acknowledge him. We need to praise him. We need to honor him. That's what should be as part of your prayer. And you need to include those elements even in your praise. Let's go to Psalms 104. The book of Psalms 104. And one. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen, my sister.
Amen.
Amen. Bless Yah, O my soul. O Yah, my Elohim, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Bless Yah. Blessing, the only way you can really bless the Most High is with the praise of your lips. There's nothing that he requires of us. Nothing that, let me say that a different way. There's nothing that he needs from us. But he requires us to praise him. And he requires us to praise him with our mouth, with our lips. Let's go to Psalms 145. Book of Psalms 145. And let's get verses 1 through 3. David's psalm of praise. I extol thee. I lift you up, my Elohim. O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. We are to lift up the name of the Most High. We are to praise him on high. Every day I will bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is Yah, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So the scriptures are telling us that we are to bless the Most High. We are to praise his name. We are to extol him. And this word in the Hebrew, extol, I will extol, is room. It's actually R-W-M. Pronounced like room, a primitive root to be high, excitedly, to rise or to raise. in various applications, literally or figuratively, to bring up, to exalt, to go up. It's to raise him up. It's to lift him up in praise, in blessings. I will extol thee. I will lift thee up. I will magnify your name. Okay? It's supposed to be part of your prayer, part of your praise. Go to the book of 1 John. It's part of your prayer. 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to be getting verses 1 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right, amen. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, and of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that Elohim is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. When we say we walk in darkness, we're walking in sin. We're walking in having no knowledge of him, his ways. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we have to confess our sins. We have to forgive those people who have sinned against us. We have to ask for forgiveness of our sins. But these are all the sins that we're asking forgiveness for are ignorant, what, sins. Because we can't ask forgiveness for sins that were willful. We knew that we were being disobedient. We knew that we were sinning. We can't ask forgiveness for those because he said that iniquity shall remain upon us. We can't ask for that. But that which we did ignorantly as part of our prayer, we can ask the Most High to forgive us. And so if we don't even know that we have sinned, which is a true form of ignorance, just like Job would make sacrifices for his children just in case they had sinned. Okay? We should be asking the Most High to forgive us our ignorant sin just in case we have sinned and we don't know it, that he would forgive it. Because he says you're still in sin, you just don't what? Know it. But it's still sin. And so the day that we find out about it, then we're supposed to confess it. The day that we find out that we're in sin. Part of our prayer. We ask him to forgive it. Give us that sin. Father, I didn't know that X was a sin.
Is now in the conference.
Okay, so let me switch back a screen so I can make sure we don't get an echo. 1 second. All right, amen. So we are to confess it, our ignorant sin. Okay, not our willful sin, but our ignorant sin. We know from the law that the Most High gave to Moses, he said that the man who sins presumptuously, who sins willfully, his sin shall remain upon him, his iniquity shall remain upon him. He can't make atonement. And that's the blessing of Messiah, because when Messiah came, then everybody who had willfully sinned could come to Messiah one time and confess all their willful sin. And that's what we would be confessing, because we would have realized that, hey, this was sin. But then after that, we're accountable. And as part of our prayer life, we have to, you know, I would say you ask the Most High to forgive you any sin that you committed that you don't even know you committed. Because if you don't know it, then you did it in ignorance. He says that can be atoned for. And if we say that we have not sinned, he says then you are a liar. If you think that you can keep everything perfectly and that you've always kept it perfectly, then you are a liar and the truth is not in you. So we all know that we have sinned. What we want to stay away from, excuse me, what we want to stay away from is willful sin. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Most I says you can't ask for forgiveness for that. It's not forgivable. Okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. So part of your prayer, you're going to acknowledge the Most High. You're going to bless his name. You're going to give him praise. You're going to honor him. And you're going to ask for forgiveness for your ignorant sins, things that you don't know that you were supposed to do that you didn't do, or things that you weren't supposed to do that you did, but you didn't know it. And so you can ask for forgiveness for that. Okay. Matthew chapter 6, the book of Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to get verses 6 through, we're going to get verses 5 through 15, and when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5, verses, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We got to always approach the Most High with what? Meekness. Humbleness. Can't be proud or puffed up. Can't feel like we deserve something. Because the only thing we really deserve, truth be known, is death. But yeah. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So we should thirst after to do right. There should be a hunger in us, not only to do right, but want to know what's right. Not according to our own standards, but according to the standards of the Most High. Not according to what man says. Because man's standards change with the wind. 10 or 15 years ago, it was against the law to be gay. Now it's lawful in the land to be gay, but it's not lawful in the eyes of the Most High. So man's morals and standards change. What he says is right and wrong changes. And even we as people can go down that road. We can say, oh, when we were younger, we thought this was right. Or this was right. And as we got old, we said, no, that's wrong. But the Most High gives us his standards, and we should hunger after his standards, his righteousness. And we should declare that in our prayers, that we are thirsty for his righteousness. Teach us your ways. Guide me in your what paths. That's part of our prayer. Yeah, what do you want me to do today? I'm in a situation. I don't know what to do. What is your will? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle it? What do you want me to say? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We have to be merciful. He says to even love your enemies and those that despitefully use you. Love them. Have mercy on them. Because while we were yet the enemies of the Most High, he had mercy on us. When we deserved death, he had mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. We have to come with a pure heart when we approach the Most High, period. There's nothing that you can hide from him. There's nothing that you can tell. Matter of fact, you can't really even confess to the Most High, because confession means to make known that which is not known. That's what a confession is. I need to tell you something that you don't know about. So what are you going to tell me that I don't know about? I already know everything you've done. I know why you did it. So when we are confessing to him, we're really doing it for ourselves so that we can come clean to ourselves, that we might be in a right relationship with him, that we don't feel like, you know, we got anything over, that you can come without shame, because when you did it, he already knew. That's having a pure heart. That's why he said David was a man after his own heart, because when the prophet came to David and told him about what he had done, David accepted it and he owned it. Whereas when the prophet came to Saul, Saul said, the people. He didn't take credit. He didn't have a pure heart before the Most High. I didn't do exactly what you said to do. And I wanted to parade this man in front of the people because I wanted to show what I had done. He didn't have a pure heart before the Most High, and the Most High said, okay, I'm taking the kingdom from you because your heart is not pure before me. And so as part of our prayer, part of our praise, we need to come with a pure heart, with a pure mind. Not feigning something, not trying to hide something. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Elohim. We should be making peace with our enemies, with those that have offended us, those that have transgressed against us, much less the Most High. We're not to hold an ought against our brother. That don't mean that you can't love the person from a distance. But you gotta forgive them or else you won't be forgiven. That's one of the things with the Most High. Says, hey, you gotta forgive those who have transgressed against you. You gotta make peace. Or else I'm gonna put all your sins back on you. You don't wanna forgive? Then I'll put all your sins back on you because I forgave you. That's what the parable of the man with the 10,000 talents. When he borrowed the 10,000, you know, talents from his master and then came back, the master asked him for the 10,000 talents. He said, hey, I don't have it, but I'll pay you back. And his master had compassion, had mercy on him, and forgave him. And then he went out and found somebody that owed him money and didn't forgive them. And then when his master found out about it, he says, all that debt I forgave you, you couldn't forgive this person this little bit of debt? You couldn't make peace? Now I'm going to put all your debt back on you and throw you into prison and make you pay that debt. And that's what it says, so is our Heavenly Father. He'll do the same to us. He doesn't want us around here quarreling and bickering and fighting over things and saying that we are part of his body. You can forgive, and you know what? I forgive you. But you got some people who, they try to abuse that. And you can forgive them, but then you love them from a distance. I forgive you, but I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to be that close to you. There's nothing saying that you got to stay in that relationship with that person if you forgive them. I don't hold no grudge against you. I don't have any malice against you. But I don't want to be associated with you. Because you've proven that you will abuse me. But I'm not holding anything against you. Peacemakers. I don't want to fight and argue with you. I don't want to keep going through the same things I've been going through with you. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness. Not persecuted because you are a Hebrew Israelite. Not persecuted because you are whatever. But for righteousness' sake. You want to do right and somebody want to come against you for doing right. You want to be holy and somebody want to talk against you for being holy. Not saying that you're being overly righteous or overly holy. Because there is a such thing as overdoing it, being, you know, overly righteous in a wrong situation. You know, it's a husband and wife, and y'all trying to come together, and you get in bed, and your husband's speaking in tongues. That ain't the time for be speaking in tongues. Or the wife is doing something like that. That ain't the time to be speaking in tongues. That's being overly righteous. There's a time and a place for everything. But you still want to be holy. You still want to be righteous. And if somebody's persecuting you for doing the right thing, then Most High says, then blessed are you. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when you do something wrong, you expect to be persecuted. But when you're doing something right, you don't expect to be persecuted. But a wicked person will persecute you for doing right because they don't want to do right. And they'll make it seem like you are the most terrible person in the world because you're doing right. But just smile. And take it, especially if you know you're right and you're doing right and good. The Most High says, then blessed are you. Take that to him in prayer. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for his sake. Not for your sake, not for your spouse's sake, not for your children's sake, not for your pastor's sake, but for the sake of Messiah. They want to persecute you. They want to talk evil against you. Oh, you a Bible thumper. All you talk about is scripture. You'll never want to do nothing. Because the things that they're doing are worldly things, and you don't want to have no parts of it. They're going to want to persecute you for that. They're going to revile you for that. Because you're not being like them. You're blessed when they do that. For his sake. Messiah said, leaves in Luke chapter 1, that you got to be willing to give your all to be his disciple, to follow him. And if you're not willing to give your all, if you love anybody or anything more than you love him, you cannot be his disciple. He says, if they're going to talk bad about you because you're trying to be my disciple, you're trying to become like me, and they're going to persecute you because of it, they're going to talk smack about you because of it, speak all manner of evil against you because of that. He said, then blessed are you Don't worry about what they're saying. And when they come against you like that, just take it to him in prayer. Father, this wicked one right here, I pray for them that you would show them the light, that they would see that your way is the only way. It is the good and right way. Pray for them. They're coming against you, but pray for them. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You're in good company. You're in good company. You're in company with the people of the Most High. All the prophets were persecuted because the message that they brought from the Most High. They were persecuted for his sake. People wanted to do wickedness. They wanted to stay on the drugs. They wanted to worship, you know, the false gods. They wanted to continue in fornication. They wanted to do all manner of wickedness. And when the Most High would send his prophets to them to tell them, to warn them, turn away from your wicked ways, they persecuted them. A lot of them they killed. And Messiah is simply telling you, hey, you find yourself in this condition, this position, blessed are you. You're in good company. The Most High is going to raise you back up, and you're going to live forever in his presence. This is just but a short while. So you pray for them. When they do that to you because of that, because of, for his word, for him, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. We know salt is a preservative. It's a flavoring. It's a cleanser. So you can preserve meat with salt. You can clean, you can sanitize things with salt. But when the salt loses its flavor, when it loses its saltiness, it is not good for anything but to throw on the ground to keep, you know, to give traction to cars or to keep you from slipping or to melt ice. But it's not good for anything else. But if the salt has lost its flavor, its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? What you going to do with it? It is thenceforth good for nothing. And when you lose your saltiness, when you lose your ability to affect change in people, to bless them, to help them clean up their lives, to sanitize things for them. They're in a situation and you come in and you're the help. When you lose that ability, when you lose the will to do that, then what good, he's saying, what good are you? When you can't bring the gospel to them and show somebody how to live saved, how to live a safe and saved life, a righteous life in Messiah, in the Most High. What good are you? You are good for nothing. When the people look at you and they see the world, you have lost your savor. You have lost your saltiness. You are just like in the same condition they're in. You cannot affect change. You cannot do anything. So what good are you? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. So you got to maintain your righteousness. You got to maintain your purity. You got to maintain your meekness. You got to always be ready to pray for somebody or to bless someone. You got to always be ready to forgive. You got to always be ready to share the gospel with someone. You got to always be ready to help your brother or your sister and to lift them up. Now, if they're doing something, you know, because this is another falsehood, and I think I need to find this verse before I say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. When our brother or sisters are doing sins that are unto death, sins that are unto death, the scriptures tell us we can't pray for them. Now, I know it's our human nature, and we want to feel like we're doing good, but the Most High says when somebody is doing that, we're not to pray for them. If they commit a sin that is not unto death, then he says you can pray for them and you can even forgive them. But if they're doing something that's unto death, you can't even pray for them for that. I'm going to have to find that. I believe it was 1 John. Hold on. Hold on just a second. I apologize. But I said something and I need for you to read it in scripture. So we're not doing anything against the Most High. See if I can find it. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Because you got to know what you can pray for and what you cannot pray for. You might have good intent. It's like Uzziah had good intent when the ark was about to fall from the cart that was being drawn by the oxen. And he saw the ark about to fall, and he went to steady it. And he still dropped dead. He had good intentions, but he wasn't authorized to touch the ark. And it still killed him. So 1 John chapter 5. And let's get verse 16. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16. When you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. Thank you. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death. There are very few sins that are not unto death. Very few. He shall ask, and he shall give him life, for then that sin is not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness and sin is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. A sin that is not unto death is an ignorant sin. But if your brother or your sister is doing something that they know is wrong, and you know they know it's wrong, you can't pray for them. Only if it's in ignorance. Now, you know, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, the scripture says that won't be forgiven in this world nor the world to come. So you definitely can't pray for somebody that's doing that. But even the other sins, if they have a death penalty that's attached to them and the person knows what they're doing, and you know, you see your friend. They used to be in the camp meeting or they used to be in the congregation. You see them out there and they're doing something they ought not do, and you know they know they ought not do it. And you confront them about it. Say, oh, man, pray for me. Just pray for me. You can't do it. That's not Brother Miles saying that. That is the word of the Most High saying that. You can't pray for that. Okay? And a lot of people like to. a lot of people, you know, want to feel like they're being compassionate, they're being loving, they're being forgiving. But the truth of the matter is, if they're doing something that has a death sentence on it, and there are very few sins that don't have a death sentence. That's why, you know, it's important that we live what? Righteous lives. It's important that once we know better, that we don't do those things that we know we ought not be doing. Because the Most High says, hey, that's unrighteousness, and it is sin. And so as the individual, he tells us, hey, if you did that ignorantly, you can come and somebody can pray for you, and you can be forgiven for that. You can bring it to me and confess it to me because you learned today that that was wrong. You were doing something ignorantly. So you confess it. He says he is sure and just to forgive you. But if it's willful, that's a whole different ballgame. And he says that if somebody, you know somebody's doing something like that, you don't have permission or the authority to pray for it. Now that might sound rough, but these are not Brother Miles' words. So let's read this again. Because, see, we be coming to the Most High with stuff that he doesn't even permit us to come to him with. He's not all forgiving. He's not all loving. He's not all merciful. He says there are conditions for everything. There's an if. For everything. If you do this, then I will do that. And if you don't do this, then this is the consequence. So even in your prayer life, there's some things that you cannot bring to him. And I know we think, oh, I can tell the Most High anything. I can come to him with anything. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, that means you got to know the law, right? Because how are you going to know whether that sin is unto death or not? Unless you know the law, you won't know. He shall ask, and he shall give him the life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. You don't pray for that. So, understanding your prayer life, we serve an Elohim that is precise. He tells us exactly what he wants. And he tells us exactly what he what? Does not want. He tells you exactly what you can do that's acceptable with him. And he tells you what you cannot do that is unacceptable with him. And you can be meaning to do what? A good? In your heart, I need to pray for this person. And if you're ignorant of the scriptures, you may what? Pray for them? But the Most High says, don't do it. Don't pray for that. Now again, that's not Brother Miles saying that. That is the word of the Most High saying that. And we have to know that. Go to Luke chapter 18. The book of Luke chapter 18. Get verses 1 through 14. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 14.
Amen.
And he, amen. Oh, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to what? Pray and not faint. We're supposed to always be in prayer and not get what? Faint about it? Not get weak, not get tired of it? Man, I'm tired of praying. Saying there was in a city a judge which feared not Elohim, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while. Now, this judge is acting like who? The Most High? In this parable. But this judge don't even fear the Most High. Because if he did, then he would have what? Took care of this widow? Because the Most High wants us to look out for the widow and the fatherless in the land. That's why I say he didn't fear the Most High. But this parable is going to teach us something else. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not Elohim, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And Yah said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not Elohim avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? When you are praying to the Most High, just like that widow cried out to him, to the judge, to be delivered. The Most High says that I will avenge my own elect, though he bear long with them. He may not answer you right away. But he said, I heard you the first time. But because you are in such turmoil, or you are being oppressed, or you're being persecuted, and you're constantly coming to him, and you're praying to him, and you're complaining, he said, I heard you the first time. And I'm going to avenge you. But he says, though he bear long with them, I heard you. You're supposed to have a faith that I'm going to what? Take care of you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to handle this for you, but you keep complaining. He says, so I'm bearing with who? You. Just like that judge. Okay. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth. In other words, what he's saying is, when I come, am I going to find you believing that I'm going to save you? Or are you going to always keep asking me to save you? If you're doing what I told you to do, I'm going to keep my word. And so just like that woman that was complaining, because she didn't feel like she was getting justice, she wasn't getting it fast enough, that ungodly judge said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and handle this because I'm tired of her what? Complaining. I'm tired of hearing it. The Most High is saying the same thing. And what Messiah is saying, will I find faith? Will I find you not complaining, but believing that justice is going to come? It may not come right away. Because see, what the Most High may consider to be speedily, we might consider to be a long time. So here's a question for you, something that Something for you to contemplate. If time has no relevance to you, meaning that it doesn't pertain to you. You're going to live forever. You are eternal. What is one day? It's nothing to you. What is one year in comparison to eternity? Now, the Most High says, I answer you before then. But it could be 15 seconds in the Most High's time. That was immediately. That was speedy. But in your time, that was 2 or 3 years. It could have been 21 days. I answered you right away. I handled the situation for you right away. Where your faith should be is that what? I'm going to handle it. Now, when I was in the church and I used to, you know, the way I do things even today. But, you know, I couldn't pray for things over and over and over again. Pray about it one time and let it go. And whatever answer came back, that was the answer. And I had to what? Live with that. If the answer was no, it was what? No. If the answer was yes, or the Most I was going to open up a door for an opportunity or whatever, then that's, you know, the first answer that came back, that's what I went with. Never questioned it. Because he wants to know if you have what? Faith. Now, this woman had no faith in the judge because she wasn't getting what? Her problem addressed. And she kept complaining to him. She kept nagging him. And the Most High says, y'all do the same thing. You keep nagging me about the same thing. I heard you the first time. And I put up with you. And I'm going to take care of it. I've already taken care of it, but it's not in your time. And what he wants us to be is our mindset is that the Most High is going to take care of it. Amen. And let it go. Verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went out into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, Elohim, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. And hold on just a second here. That's verse 11. The publican was a tax collector. Okay? That's what he was. Even as this publican, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. When he says he went down to his house, he's talking about his final house, his grave. Justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be what? Abased. You exalt yourself, I'm going to knock you down. And he that humbles himself shall be what? Lifted up, exalted. So the Pharisee was talking about how much he, you know, how much he does this and how much he does that and what he does, trying to proclaim all his what? Righteousness. And the publican said, hey, he humbled himself and said, hey, please just forgive me of what? A sinner. Have mercy on me. Humbled himself, was meek. And they brought unto him also infants that would he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. All right, we're not going to get into that. So the bottom line is, as part of your prayer, you don't want to pray for certain things, and you want to what? Humble yourself. Okay. Go to Psalms 118. Don't be puffed up, but humble yourself before your Elohim. Don't say you're so righteous and you're so good and these people are so bad. Psalms 118. And let's get verses 1 through 4. Oh, give thanks unto Yah, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say that his mercy endures forever. Let them now that fear Yah say that his mercy endureth forever. Now, give thanks in your prayer, in your praise. The Most High's mercy endures forever to those that do righteousness, those that are not willfully sinning. Because see, the average everyday person, everybody, will take these verses and say, the Most High's mercy endures forever, and it's renewed, what, each morning? Not for the people who are wicked. You got to first come back to him the right way, and it's got to be heartfelt. It's got to be from your heart that you are repenting, not just saying, I'm sorry because I don't want to get punished, but, you know, I'm not really sorry what I was doing. I don't really see nothing wrong with it. You said it's wrong, but I don't really see nothing wrong with it. It's not the right mindset. Give thanks to him as part of your prayer and part of your praise. Give thanks to him. Go to Luke chapter 17. The book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke, chapter 17, and we're going to get verses 15 through 17. Luke 17, and when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 All right, thank you. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified Elohim. Now, these are the 10 lepers, if I'm not mistaken. Let's go back up. Let's go back to verse 11. Luke 17, starting in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst, or the middle of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. He didn't have to touch them. They asked for mercy. He healed them. He cleansed them. Now, this is something that was unheard of. Go show yourself unto the priest, because this is supposed to be a testimony to the priest. The priest should have looked at them and said, how in the world did y'all get healed? How did you become clean? Because usually this was a life sentence until they turned all white in their leprosy. Then they were declared to be clean because of the disease that would stop being transmitted at that time. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified Elohim and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, again, to those brothers and sisters, I'm not even going to go there. And Yeshua answered and said, where were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9 at? They got healed too. But they didn't stop to give the Most High thanks. They didn't stop to praise him. We're going to go show the priest. I don't even know if they went to show the priest. So happy they got cleansed, so caught up that they didn't even do what? Give thanks. There are not found that return to give glory to Elohim, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Give thanks. When the Most High does anything for you, give thanks. When you ask for something and you receive it, give thanks. Don't forgive to give him thanks. A lot of times we pray for things, and when it comes to pass, we don't even what?
Thank you.
Don't even thank him. Don't even remember we asked. So it's part of your prayer life. You got to give thanks. Got to do it. Okay? John, chapter 11. The book of John, chapter 11. And verse 41.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. John, chapter 11, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Yeshua lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, even Messiah, from the position of Messiah. Thank the Most High. He's showing us an example. Now, this is with Lazarus. But he's thanking the Most High not for actually raising Lazarus, because he knew he would do it. He's thanking him for allowing him to say this out loud so the people could hear and believe. I know you hear me, but I said it out loud. Verse 42, I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Because the whole thing was, Israel needed to believe who Messiah was. They needed to believe who Yeshua was. So he said it out loud and gave thanks out loud so that the people would believe that he is who he said that he is. Sometimes you may need to give thanks out loud so that people will believe that you're a child of the Most High. For their sake. See, we're not so much into doing miracles, and I really do believe that it's out of unbelief. But even if we ask the Most High to do something for us, and it's miraculous, when it happens, we ought to give thanks out loud, especially for those that are around us so they can know that the Most High did what? That he moved for us and that he exists and that I am his child. So if they ever want to know anything, they ever want to hear anything, the first person they think about is who? You. They come to you with the question. They come to you for the answer. They come to you as his representative. They come to you because the Spirit of the Most High dwells in you. So they're not coming to see you. They're coming to see who? Him. Come to see him because his Spirit dwells in you. I need a work done too. I need a miracle. Go to Philip. Or is it Philippians? Go to the book of Philippians. Chapter 4. The book of Philippians, chapter 4. And let's get verse 6. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto Elohim with prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Thank the Most High ahead of time. Ahead of time, because you're already counting it as being what? Done.
Already done.
Already done. I'm thanking you right now because it's already done. Thing that you got to make sure of is that you're in the will of the Most High. Understand that prayer is not designed to move the Most High to your position. Prayer is designed to move you to his. And you should be asking him what is his will, and then asking for that to be what? Done. And thanking him that it's already done. Because a lot of times we pray for stuff, we want the Most High to move to our position. Like a lot, you know, there's a lot of prophecies in the scriptures. And people be praying against them. Because nobody wants to see the end of the world come. Nobody wants all this death to come. But he's already said that it's going to happen. So we shouldn't be praying against it. Because it's not his will. It's not his will that all wicked people will make it into the kingdom. Really, none of them, if they're truly wicked. Go to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, and we're going to get verse 32.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Exodus 32 and 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. Now, Moses is asking the Most High to forgive the people their sin. And then he's asking, say, hey, if you won't forgive their sin, then blot me, I pray thee, out of your book. Now, consequently, when Moses went down the mountain, the Most High had already told him what the people doing. Moses is asking the Most High, forgive this people, because he knew the Most High was getting ready to kill them. All of them. He says, I'll start over. go up and get this story real quick. Let's go up to verse 3. I think we read this just the other day. We read this as part of the law. Let's go up to and let's start at starting verse 1. Amen?
Amen.
Exodus 32 starting in verse 1. Because the people, you know, I want you to put yourself in their shoes, okay? Not really, but I want you to put yourself in the frame of mind in this situation. The Most High has just spent 6 days amongst the people giving them the law. Okay? Telling them what he wants and what he doesn't want. What they're required to do and what they're not required to do. What they shouldn't do. Then he calls Moses up on the mountain, okay? Come up here, Moses, because everything that I told them, as far as the first 10, I'm going to write down these commandments. So you come up here. Bring 2 tables of stone. And it's about a week before the Most High ever even give Moses an audience. And he calls Moses into the cloud, okay? And when the people saw, verse 1, saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us Elohim, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. He gone 40 days and 40 nights, or probably 30 days and 30 nights, because he's still up there. But we don't know what didn't happen to him. Now, the Most High has just finished speaking with them less than a month ago and said, you shall not make unto you any graven images of anything that is in the heaven above or in the earth beneath or as under the sea, and bow down to them. And the first thing that people want to do is have them to make them some gods. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned them it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, if the Most High just told you, don't do this. See how quick people are to forget? See how quick people are to disobey? Make us some gods. And when Aaron saw it, he built the altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to Yah. Now this is something that people are doing today. They're worshiping other gods and saying that they're worshiping who? The Most High. But they're worshiping other gods. They're not worshiping the God of the Bible. And this is not the only time this is recorded in Scripture. Even when the Most High had Israel taken out of the land, the northern kingdom, and the king of Assyria transplanted people into the land from other nations, because that's what Assyria did. They conquered nations, and then they would transplant the population that they just conquered. They'll transfer, you know, transplant them into somebody else's country so that they're not in their own country. So they have no loyalty to that country. And they brought their gods, their own gods, with them. And then they didn't respect the Most High. And the Most High sent lions in amongst them. And they went to Nebuchadnezzar and said, hey, or the kings of Assyria, Salamanzer and them, and said, hey, we don't know the Elohim of the land. And he's angry with us. And we need to know about him because he's sending lions and stuff in here on us. So Salamanzer sent back part of the false priesthood. But they knew enough to tell the people to fear the Most High. So it says at the end of that chapter, I think it's 1 Kings chapter 18 or 19, might even be 17, between 17 and 19, says that they feared Yah and worshiped their gods. Is this not what Israel is doing? They're saying that Aaron just said a golden calf came out or some golden calves came out of this thing that they just made. But we're going to have a feast to whom? To Yah. Now, Yah is not those golden calves. We got people today. They will tie the Most High to Christmas and Easter, which is to Esther, to these pagan holidays. They're not his days. But they're standing there worshiping him. Is this not the same thing that we're reading about here?
Amen.
And so you got to know, you can't do that. So they have sinned a great sin. And somehow, the churches today don't feel like they're sinning a great sin. But they are. So let's continue with this. And they rose up early on the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. They rose up to worship these calves like they had been worshiping them in Egypt, which was to party and to get drunk and have orgies and things like that. And Yah said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way. And, and when he said quickly, that was quickly. I just talked to these knuckleheads a week or so ago, a month ago. And they have already turned back to worshiping idols. They have already turned back to worshiping false gods. They have already made them an image of something in the earth and are bowing down to it. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them that made them and made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy Elohim, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. These golden calves brought you up out of the land of Egypt, not the Most High. Not the one that split the Red Sea. Not the one that caused water to come out from the Flint Rock. Not the one that said, hey, these waters at Meribah are bitter. Throw this tree in there, and it's going to cure the waters. Not him. These calves we just made with our hands. They brought us up out of Egypt. And Yah said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them. Leave me alone, that I might consume them. And I will make of you a great nation. I'm about to go down here and kill every last one of them. And I'll start over with you. Now Moses pleads for them. Moses besought Yah, his Elohim, and said, Yah, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people? What kind of question is that? He just told you. They're worshiping another God. which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, and with great power and with a mighty hand. Now he uses this logic, wherefore should the Egyptians speak? What are Egyptians going to say? For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Is that what they're going to say? That you brought us out here to play a cruel joke on us? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent from this evil against thy people. Now, the Most High has already said, I will consume them all. I will kill them all. And Moses says, hey, what are the Egyptians going to say? Now, let's drop down. Let's drop down to verse 19. Exodus chapter 32, verse 19. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, near unto the camp, that he saw the calf and dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. Now the Most High was already hot. The Most High was very angry, and he listened to Moses. Now Moses come down the mountain, he see what the people have done, and he gets angry. And he throws the tablets out of his hands and breaks them beneath the mount. Now, he just got through pleading for the people, asking, begging the Most High, please, 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 please don't kill this people. But now he's hot because he sees exactly what the Most High has already seen. Okay. And he took the calf which they made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and threw it or strewed it upon the water, this powder, and then he made the people, the children of Israel, drink it. Drink this water with this ground up gold dust. Eat your idol. Okay. So when we're looking at this, when we drop down to verse 32, Moses said, the people have sinned a great sin, and now will I go unto Yah, preadventure, shall I make an atonement for your sin. Let me see if I can get you some forgiveness. And Moses returned unto Yah and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin. The Most already knew that, and has made them gods of gold. The Most already knew that. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. If you're going to kill all of us, kill us all. If you're going to kill them, kill me too. And Yah said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Therefore, now go lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. I'm coming to see about y'all. And when I come, I'm still going to get those that what? That sinned. Now, did he forgive them? Not really. He says, I'm not going to kill them right now, but everybody that sinned, I'm going to visit their what? Iniquity on them? I ain't going to kill them all right now. But you're not going to get away with this sin. So we got to understand that we intercede, we are to intercede for people, but not if it's a sin unto death. Moses interceded for the whole nation. And the Most High said, I'm still going to get those who what? Sin against me? Because they have sinned a great sin that's unto death. And Moses said, hey, if you're going to kill all of them, blot my name out of your book. If you won't forgive them, blot my name out of your book. And the Most High says, I will blot those people who what? Sin against me's name out of the book. So it goes back to, I need to actually include this with the verse out of 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. The Most High is consistent. He don't change. He didn't allow Moses to pray for these people's sins that were unto death. Most High says, when I visit them, I'm still going to get them. I'm just not going to kill everybody, because evidently not everybody was involved with this. But the ones who did it, he said he was still going to get them. So we got to understand, and we got to stay within the guidelines that he gives us concerning who we can pray for and who we can't. And we, you know, we can intercede, but we got to understand, we, you know, once we know the truth of the word, we can't intercede for somebody who has, what, sent us sin unto death. But we can intercede for those who are innocent or who sinned ignorantly. We can intercede for them. Matthew chapter 5. What time is it? 6:36. Matthew chapter 5. And let's get verse 44. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. We'll get actually 43 and 44.
Amen.
Amen. When everybody has it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So you're supposed to pray for these people that use you, that persecute you. This is a commandment from your king. Because, you know, somebody hurts us. They persecute us. They use us. And not just use us, but what? Despitefully. Like you ain't nobody. Yeah, I used you, so what? You stupid. You're supposed to have been used. So, you know, our first thing is to do what? Get angry? Want to go upside their head? He says, no. We are to pray for them. Because they abused us, but it's not a sin unto death. You might want to kill them, but they have not actually committed a sin that's unto death. Let's go to John chapter 17. Now let's get verses 13 through 21. John 17, verses 13 through 21. When you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And now come I to thee. Things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. You're supposed to change your residency. Understand that the kingdom of heaven is a country. It's a heavenly country, but it's a country. And your residence is supposed to change, that you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And your residency is not in this world. You're in the world, but you're not supposed to be what? Of this world. not supposed to be like this world. A lot of us can't let go of this world. Okay, but we're not supposed to be of it. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. This is what Messiah is praying for us. Don't act like you're a part of this world because you are a pilgrim here. You are no longer a citizen of this world. Your standards aren't supposed to be like this world. Your standards are supposed to be like the country that you come from. You're supposed to be known for certain things. Not in this world. And then Messiah says, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but keep them from evil. Keep evil from coming on you. Keep you from doing evil. Keep you from turning back into the way of this world. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, separate them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Believe and understand that the word of the Most High is truth. If you contradict the word of the Most High, it's not the word of the Most High that's wrong, it's you that's wrong. If your understanding doesn't line up with his, if you don't believe that you should pray for your enemies, if you don't believe that you should be, that you're going to be saved because you were persecuted, because you were persecuted because of Messiah, not because you were black or you were white or you were green, but because you believed on Messiah. You believed in righteousness. And you are willing to suffer with him. That every word that is written in the scriptures is true. Even if you can't understand it. You don't understand it. The scripture says to do what? Ask Elohim. And he will give you the understanding. Now he sends us preachers and teachers to do those things. But even after the preacher or the teacher has taught and you still can't understand, then you should ask the Most High. That he would give you the understanding, give you the truth of his word. Because, you know, I know that there are a lot of things in the scripture that offend people. That offend them. It doesn't stop them from reading the word, but they're offended. And don't be the messenger, because now you have offended them. It ain't the word of the Most High, it's you. You said it. You read it with me, but no, you said it. I wasn't going to even pay no attention to those scriptures. And so they don't agree. But, you know, the truth of the matter is they need to know the truth of his what? Word? Yeah. Whether they agree with it or not. That's a personal thing. So we belong to him. We're not supposed to be in this word, in this world. We're not supposed to be of this world, but we're in this world. We're not supposed to be conforming to this world. And we're supposed to be looking for and being sanctified through the truth of his word. Let's go to, let's see, we've got to continue here. Let's go down, we're going to read through 21. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Messiah came to be our Savior and to be our example, our scripture says, in sample. Let me find that verse. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. We'll come back to this, John chapter 17. Philippians chapter 3.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And let's get, amen, let's get verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have for us for a what? Ensample. This word ensample a shape, a statue, a style, a resemblance, specifically a sampler, a type. You're supposed to be a ensample or an example. Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. Mm-hmm. And we'll get verse 9 when you have it, say amen.
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 All right. Amen. Thank you, all of you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. You're supposed to be making yourself an ensample to other people. Okay, so that they would, if you're being like Mashiach, if they follow you, would they be being like Mashiach? Yes, no, maybe so.
Say it again.
If you are being Christ-like, if you're being like Messiah, mm-hmm. and you tell people to follow after your example, if you're doing everything righteous, if they do what you do, will they be like Christ?
Yes, amen.
So we're supposed to be the ensample. And people should actually follow you if you're doing right. Okay. And let me look up one more place. I'll find the other verse that I'm looking for. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's get verse 21. And when you have it, you'll say amen.
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 All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. All right, amen. For even hereto were you called, because Mashiach, or Christ, also suffered for us, leaving us a what?
Example.
That we should follow his steps. That we should follow his way. That we should become like him. He is our example. Amen?
Amen.
And if you follow him, then you're going to leave the same example he left. And so we're not going to walk in sin. We're going to put our others before ourselves, even unto the giving of our life for the gospel's sake. All right, back to John 17. John chapter 17. Verse 18. As thou hast sent them into the world, even so have I also sent them. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So Messiah's prayer is not just applying to his apostles, but even everybody that his apostles reach.
Amen.
Even to everybody that you reach. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So we want to do those things and be the example. We want to pray to become like Messiah. We don't want to, you know, say we can't do it, then we ought not be in this walk. We should be praying to the Most High that he gives us what we need to do this. Let's go to John chapter 11. We're going to do two more verses, then we'll be done for this evening. We won't be done with this question, but John chapter 11, verse 41. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up, or Yeshua lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee. I think we already read this in another place. I think I went back a question I did. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. My bad.
That's okay. That was good,
too. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, and when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Brethren, my heart's desire amen. And prayer to Elohim for Israel is that they might be what?
Saved.
So that should be your prayer. It's your heart and desire that he would save your brother and your sister. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. Let's get verses 1 through 3. When you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Elohim, our Savior. So we are supposed to make supplication and prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men, even those we don't like. You know, I find it real hard to pray for Trump. I ain't gonna lie to you. But I still pray for him. I ain't gonna say I like it. But I got to still be obedient to what? Scriptures? To the word of the Most High? For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Now, if we're praying for them, We're praying that they do the what? Right thing?
The right thing, yeah.
And that it helps us to lead a peaceable, a quiet and peaceable life. Because the leaders can make things hell. You know, it's not easy living a godly life in this country when so many things of this country are anti-Most High. They don't keep Sabbath. They don't keep His laws. They make laws that are contrary to His. The world accepts it as, you know, this is the way things are. And, you know, if you are trying to live a godly life, then you got to go in and request permission to be off on the Sabbath. When it should be what? Automatic. But it's not. So you pray that they would make the laws that make it easy for you to live a quiet and peaceable life. Because that makes a godly life. Go to James chapter 5. The book of James chapter 5. Let's get verse 15. Now, when we read this verse, again, I don't want us to become conflicted because you got some restrictions on you for what you can pray for, right? Mm-hmm. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and Yah shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, this might sound like you've committed any sin.
Excuse me, brother. What are you reading?
5 and 15.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's if he have committed sins that are not unto death. Because we can't make the scriptures what contradict each other.
Amen.
And the Most High has placed a stronger restriction saying, you can't pray for somebody who has sinned unto death. You can't take this verse and say, well, see, this one says I can pray for him. Because this is what we do. So we can't do that. So I think let us bow our heads. We're going to stop right here for today. Father, Yah, we come before you right now. Father, seeking to understand your requirements and what you allow and what you don't allow us to do in our worship and in our prayers, things that are acceptable to you and things that are not, Father, we just want to walk in your ways. We want to be right with you. We want to be lawful with you. We want to be righteous. Father, help us, remind us, unction us to walk in your ways. Give us a mind that we would remember the scriptures, that we might do them. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we will pick this up. We are still, we're in question number 9. I'm going to say this so I can go back to the recording and pick it back up. We're in question number 9, and we might have finished 9. But we got one more section in 9. We got subparagraph E to do on next week, and then we'll pick it up with question 10. What are some requirements for effective prayer? Find out what we can do and what we can't do. Now we need to find out how to make our prayer what? Effective. According to what the Most High says, according to what the Word says. So we will look at that on next week. What are some of the requirements for effective prayer? With that being said, are there any questions?
No, sir.
All right, if there are no questions, then may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Oh, we will be meeting on Thursday for the weekly business meeting. We're still talking about Yesharon Farms and the glamping, the campsite that we're trying to bring up. I'll give you the latest that I have on it. So we will meet Thursday as a business unit. All right, with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. Shalom and have a blessed evening.
Shalom.
And where is my music at?
Which dwelleth in Zion.
Shalom, Sister Mary. Shalom, my sisters. Sister Lorraine and Sister Rachel. Brother Gary. Sister Laura. Peace and blessings to everyone.
Shalom.